ॐ शांति, ॐ शांति, ॐ शांति। Brahma Baba, before he became avyakt or attained his angelic stage or became perfect, he uttered these last three words: children, may you be bodiless, viceless and egoless. Baba spoke his last murli on 18th of January 1969 in the night class, and after saying good night, namaste, he got up from his seat and came to the door of the history hall in Pandav Bhavan. But instead of stepping out of the hall, he stood at the near the doorstep and he bowed in front of the children who were already sitting, because they would leave only after Baba had left. So they were already sitting. And after the murli, the night class, Baba turned back and bowed before the children and said these words: children, may you be bodiless, viceless and egoless. And then said, okay, Baba takes leave. That's all. It was a very strange word for Baba to say, leave. Usually he would never say leave. He never said, okay, Baba takes leave. Baba would say, good night, namaste, om shanti. That's it. But not Baba takes leave. And he said these words and went to his room. It was about 8:45 at night. He was sitting on his bed, and those were the last moments of his attaining perfection. Shiv Baba was calling him to be his constant companion. The angelic form of Brahma Baba in the subtle regions was invoking him to become the perfect form, and his last karmic accounts were also being settled. And before that, before these three invitations, he invoked Dadi Prakash Mani, and Dadi Prakash Mani had a thought: let me go and meet Baba in his room. Usually she would not go at night. After Baba would speak the murli, Baba would go back to his room, and that would be about after 9:30. But that day Baba spoke the murli earlier. Dinner was earlier. Instead of 7:30, it was 6:30. So everything was 1 hour earlier. So as it was just 8:45, only 8:45. So Dadi had the thought, let me go and say good night to Baba. And it's quite early, it's not that late. So it was Baba who invoked her, and the thought came to her. And he sat on his bed, and how these three pulls, one from Shiv Baba, one from his angelic form, and the third, his last karmic accounts with the physical body. But at that time, Baba was bodiless. Dadi ji came in front of him His eyes were shut, feet, legs were down on his bed, which you can, the same bed in Baba's room. His eyes were shut, his hands were like this. And Dadiji called out, "Baba, Baba," to draw his attention towards her. But she saw that Baba's eyes were shut and he was totally bodiless. He was conquering his, you know, last karmic accounts. He was finishing and the pull was there. So he was totally bodiless. And when Dadi got hold of his hands, saying, "Baba, Baba," Baba opened his eyes, and that was the last moment. It was just a matter of a few seconds. Baba opened his eyes, gave drishti to Dadi, so drishti met drishti, and hands met hands, Baba's hands and Dadi's hands, and through drishti and hands, how Baba willed all the powers to Dadiji. And at that very moment, the soul left the body and became angelic, went to subtle regions. Well, it was only afterwards that when the trans messengers brought this news, the message, that how Baba experienced this at the last moment. So we can say that these were the last three blessings given by Brahma Baba. And as he himself was the embodiment of all these three, and thereby inspired the children to become that in order to become angelic. And how Baba gave us such a wonderful aim. That is why Baba says, "Remember me, keep me in your consciousness, do every action in my remembrance." And therefore that we could call as being bodiless. Because the word bodiless could be said in three words. Becoming incorporeal is also bodiless. Becoming soul conscious is also being bodiless, but they can be used in different ways. Soul conscious means I perform every action in a soul conscious state. I am the soul, the master seated here, and I am working through these senses, or I am making these senses work. I am just like a detached observer and seeing how they are working, you can say that too, or I am working through them. So Baba uses the word karan karavanhar, the doer and the one who gets done. So the soul is also karan karavanhar through the body. It does, or you can say it gets it done through the senses. And that is called performing every action in a soul conscious stage. But then when we say bodiless stage or incorporeal stage, that is the stage of tapasya. So Brahma Baba himself did that tapasya. You must have seen his photographs, how sitting leg over the leg, like we call that Ardha Padmasana, you know, half Padmasana, the leg above the leg, sitting one leg above the other, not completely cross-legged. Cross-legged, if we sit, it's like Sukhasana, a very comfortable position. And then Padmasana is when you put both your feet above, that is lotus posture. But then this is Ardha Padmasana, half, when only one leg is above. So you must have seen many photographs of Brahma Baba, where he is in his intoxicated stage, conversing with Baba, and experiencing a totally bodiless stage. So this is called bodiless stage. No pull of the body at all. But the soul is very much there in the body. But it has gone beyond the pull of any actions or any attraction of surroundings. And the incorporeal stage, when the soul is in the soul world, even that could be experienced in yoga. When Baba talks about the five forms, the five stages, the incorporeal stage, the deity stage, the worship-worthy stage, Brahmin stage, angelic stage. So the incorporeal stage is when I become a point of light, totally, completely free from all bondages, as I am in the soul world, completely above matter, possessions, people, anything physical. Even the angelic body is not there, but the soul is beyond everything and just a point of light. So that is the incorporeal stage which we experience in meditation, and we can attain that even whilst being in the body. But before that, we need the tapasya of being bodiless. So soul conscious stage could be the lower stage where I'm in action, because to come into action I have to have that awareness that I am in the body and the physical body, yes. So I'm performing actions, doing everything, but whenever I wish I can go beyond. I'm not attached to the karma. And this is what sometimes Baba says, karmatit stage. Karmatit stage doesn't mean going beyond actions. Karmatit stage means the actions are there, but the bondage of actions is not there. The thoughts that I am doing something, that I-ness is not there. But the senses are performing their actions. I'm just the master. Or when Baba says Karan Karavan Har, as Baba, Baba is getting it done. I'm just a medium. So the ego is finished. So that is the soul conscious stage in action. But then in tapasya, when we are in intense meditation, we feel how we become bodiless, totally free from the pull of any physical thoughts or worldly thoughts or anything physical. But I'm in my angelic stage, so you could call that as a bodiless stage. Physical body is not experienced, but in the form of light. And then the incorporeal stage is in the soul world. So we used to experience this from Brahma Baba. It was my privilege to have met Brahma Baba so many times, because I came to Baba in 1959 December, and Baba left the body in 69 January. So nearly 9 years. Baba used to come to Mumbai every year nearly, and of course I am from Mumbai. So I used to meet Baba every day, attend the Murli class in the morning, and then go to school. I was in school. Or I came at least 2-3 times to Madhuban during those 9 years. And I saw Baba from very close distance. Even if he would be walking, we could feel that how Baba is not really in that physical state, like an angel is walking. That's how we used to see Baba. Or when Baba would stop, you know, not be walking, and he would stop, and he would start giving drishti. We would all stop, you know, just like attention. That was the feeling, because Baba's drishti was so powerful. Even if somebody would be talking to someone, you know, the moment they would see Baba, immediately they would stop and Baba would be giving drishti. So we saw that bodiless stage of Baba even in corporeal form. And even from a distance we could feel, yes, Baba is not an ordinary person, although very dressed very ordinarily, not something very showy or something to really be proud of the clothes or anything, very simple. But Baba's stage was very high, and that made us also become bodiless in a second. So this is the practice Baba wants us to make. See, when we see the Dadis, when Dadi Janki is there, even if she's walking, we feel, oh, Dadi is so light. Even though she's smiling, even though she's talking, we feel, oh, we must just listen to Dadi, not speak to Dadi, just listen to what she's saying. Or just take drishti from Dadi. That's the thought which comes in our minds when we see the Dadi. The same thing was with Brahma Baba. And many had many thoughts which they would, you know, maybe in the form of questions or doubts or whatever. Because Baba would say in the Murli that, children, if you have any questions, anything to ask, you can always ask Baba. You know? So children used to ask Baba. But very often Baba's stage would be so high, you know, that that thought that I have to ask something from Baba would also disappear. Because Baba's stage would be so high, what to ask? Even if the thought was there, I should ask this from Baba. But because of the high stage of Baba, we would feel, oh, these are petty things, very trivial things. So to ask Baba about these petty things, it doesn't really seem right. And therefore, you would either forget, or even if we would be remembering that this is what I have to ask Baba, but at that time the thought would come, no, there's no need. Or sometimes the answer would come automatically, even without asking. Because Baba's line was clear, and as we would be in front of Baba, our line also of the intellect would become clear, and the answer would come immediately. And then we too would become, you know, stable in our bodiless stage. So this is what Baba says, being bodiless, being soul conscious in actions, being incorporeal. So when I'm in my incorporeal stage in the soul world, I have not just no pulls, no attractions, no waste thoughts, no impure thoughts, of course, no, but not even waste thoughts, not even ordinary thoughts, but all that the qualities of the soul are being experienced. But because Baba says you can experience all the qualities of the soul only now. When the soul will go in the soul world, at that time we will not be able to experience. The experience in the soul comes only when it is in the body. And therefore, in the soul world, we will not be able to experience these qualities. But then yes, now we can experience that angelic stage. And or we can experience the incorporeal stage. And in that incorporeal stage, experience the qualities of the soul. Peace, love, happiness, what we talk of. And therefore, Baba says, first of all, your practice should be of being soul conscious. If this practice is continuous, I'm not coming into body consciousness, then it will be easy for me to become bodiless when I'm sitting in meditation. Because whole day if I'm body conscious, I'm performing everything in a body conscious way, then when I sit to meditate, it will not be easy to become bodiless. Because the bodiless stage will come only when I've been soul conscious whilst performing actions. And it is really well visible, you know, when somebody is body conscious. It's visible, it can be felt from that person, how body conscious this person is. Because all his senses are very, you can say, naughty. You know, you can use this word naughty. His eyes are naughty, looking around everywhere. He's talking and gossiping and hearing all waste. Too many actions, too body conscious. If somebody tells him something, immediately he's upset. Or that ego comes. You know, so many things happen. And we can say that this person cannot be called soul conscious. Because if I'm practicing being soul conscious, I will not be affected by all these things. I'll be able to go beyond in a second. Because my aim is very high that I have to be soul conscious. Even if there's some gossip going on, whatever is going on. But even though I can hear, not that my ears are closed, I'm hearing, but still I'm not paying attention. That's why in English we have these two words, hearing and listening, seeing and looking. So of course I can see everything, but I'm not really paying attention that I'm looking at it. Of course the sound goes into the ears, but I'm not paying attention, therefore I'm really not listening. And therefore I can go beyond. And in that soul conscious stage, I can feel that yes, these vices don't affect me at all. These vices come only when I'm body conscious. And therefore Baba said, soul consciousness first or bodiless first. Between the three, bodiless, then viceless and then egoless. So bodiless, Baba used this word first. Actually the Hindi word is nirakari avasthan. Bacche nirakari, nirvikari, nirahankari banna. So nirakari we can say incorporeal. But then to rhyme with ego, body, you know, viceless and egoless, we have said bodiless. So first is becoming bodiless. And for that, being soul conscious. And when I'm in my soul conscious stage, whilst performing actions, while interacting with people, while coming into sound also, whilst looking around to, I mean, everything is there. Not that I've gone beyond and I'm not aware of anything. I'll also be aware that somebody is coming, somebody is going, the door is closing, the door is opening, whatever. I may be cooking, I may be driving, I may be using the computer, whatever. But still I can do it in the soul conscious stage. But if I'm in my body conscious stage, then definitely the vices will come. Because the root cause of all vices is body consciousness. And that is why soul consciousness is the first step. And this is the first and the last lesson which Baba has taught us. The very first lesson when the yajna started, at that very time itself, how Shiv Baba said, children, be soul conscious, be soul conscious. You are not this body, you are a soul. And how Baba, Brahma Baba used to practice this himself. He used to tell himself, I'm a soul, I'm a soul. And whenever he would look at his family members, he would practice and even then, Yashoda, Baba's Laukik wife, Yashoda is a soul, Baba's Laukik daughter-in-law, Radha, Radhika, Radhi Brijendra, Radhika is a soul, a soul, a soul. He would also write on the walls. So that even they would read, you know, that Yashoda is a soul, that Baba is seeing them in that consciousness. And this helped them too. Because I'm a soul, Baba is seeing me as a soul. And bodily relationships, the pull of bodily relationships finished. That is why in the yajna, families surrendered. But then that pull of bodily relationships was not there. Mama's Laukik mother never felt that she is my daughter. No, Mama was a daughter. So mother should have that feeling, she is my daughter. But no, Mama became Mama for everyone, even for her mother. Even for her mother, Mama was the mother. And she used to call Mama, Mama, you know. Not by her name, but as Mama. And Mama used to call her by her name. Her name was called Roo. Her name was Rocha. Rocha, that was her name. Mama's Lokik mother. So everybody called her Rocha, and she also used to call her Rocha. That was her Lokik name. Mother used to call her Mama. Baba's Lokik wife, Yashoda. Baba used to call her Yashoda, and she used to say Baba. Just imagine, Lokik husband. But she used to say Baba. He became the father. So all the bodily relationships finished. Even if somebody was sick, the thought could come to the mother that my daughter is sick, I should look after her. But Baba would say, no, she should not look after her. But there would be a nurse. Now this nurse should look after her. Because if mother looking after daughter again, it would be like a bodily relationship. It could lead to attachment. You know? So how detached Baba made everyone in the yajna. Completely detached. Lokik relationships were completely forgotten. And this is actually part of soul consciousness. Because if Lokik relationships are remembered and that attraction is there, maybe the attachment is not there. But even the thought, she's my mother, he's my father, my brother, my sister. So anything Lokik, Baba used to feel it, you know. Baba would say, Baba's getting that smell of body consciousness. Baba used to get that smell, you know, so Baba used to use the word smell. Foul smell of body consciousness. If there's any bodily pull, that's a very high thing. But even that awareness, a consciousness that this one is my mother or father or brother or sister, in a Lokik way, even that Baba did not like. And therefore we can say that how soul conscious Baba made us at the beginning. And then Baba said, at the end also, this will be your last lesson. Because only in that soul conscious stage will you be able to remember Baba. As the soul is leaving the body, I'm a soul. Baba says in Golden Age that soul consciousness will remain at the time of leaving the body. So that sanskar of being in that soul conscious stage whilst leaving the body comes from Sangam Yoga. So how at the time of leaving the body, the soul remembers, I am a soul. And in Baba's remembrance, in Golden Age, Baba's remembrance will not be there. But at least the soul conscious stage will be there. And therefore this practice or sanskar has to be experienced here, has to be attained here. Only then this is carried forward for the Golden Age. And so at the end, Baba says, I'm a soul leaving the body. That is the real yogi stage. You know, in the earlier days, they used to say that yogis, they would come to know when they are going to leave the body. Even these days, some share experiences of their father or mother or, you know, any elderly, that person saying, yes, I'm going to leave the body. And so yogis who were in, even if they would remember the Brahma element, even they would have that feeling that I'm going to leave the body. And there are examples of some yogis, they would say beforehand, on such and such date, on such and such day, at such and such time, at such and such place, I will leave my body. And they would lie on the floor, you know, and everybody around them, and the soul would leave the body. So this was called having death also in under their control. And in Golden Age, as Baba says, there is no untimely death. So untimely death is not there. It means we are like immortal. The soul knows that this is the moment I'm going to leave the body. So it leaves the body with its own desire that now time to leave the body. not forced to leave the body. That forced to leave the body would be like untimely death. And therefore everyone in golden age is immortal. Amar, as Baba says. So even here at the confluence age, we practice becoming bodiless, becoming soul conscious. And this practice will be very, very useful at the end when we are leaving the body. And if at that time anyone else is remembered, of course, then our marks are cut because that soul is remembered. And therefore Baba says, at the end, nothing else should be remembered. But if there has been a pull of some sort, it may be remembered at that moment. And therefore Baba says, long time practice. Only when there's a long time practice can we really say that we are ever ready. If somebody asks, are you ever ready? And if I say yes, but ever ready doesn't really mean ever ready. It means ever ready that when I'm having a long time practice. And ever ready is also very important. Why? Because everything is going to happen suddenly. And that is why Baba uses these three words, suddenly, ever ready, and long time practice. These three go together. Only when I have a long time practice can I be called ever ready, and I am ever ready to face anything happening all of a sudden or suddenly. I'm ready. Let it happen. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. I have no fear. I have no doubts. I have no questions. I will not be surprised. So when we say knowledge of drama, again, knowledge of drama teaches us this. No questions, no surprises, no fear, no doubts, no worries, nothing. Very stable stage. And Baba says leaving the body would be like removing hair from butter. Removing hair from butter. You know, sometimes hair comes in chapati, you know, very often it comes. So you pull out the hair. But if the hair is in the chapati, maybe it entered when you were making the dough and the hair came in the chapati. Now you try to remove the hair. How does it come out? It doesn't come out whole. It comes out in pieces. You take out one piece, another piece, another piece. It comes out in pieces. But if the hair is in butter, it'll come out whole, no? Because the butter is soft. And therefore Baba says, you have to experience a stage of soul consciousness or bodiless stage. And when it's time to leave the body, the soul will go in a second. And this was the experience of Brahma Baba. And therefore, this should be our practice too, of being bodiless in a second, and soul conscious during the whole day, and experiencing the incorporeal stage of being in the soul world, a point of light in a world of light, with Baba, my Supreme Father. Yes, when we want to experience all relationships with Baba, then of course in the angelic stage. But when it is just me and Baba and nothing else, that's only in the soul world. That's the incorporeal stage. And once I'm able to experience this, then it is very easy for me to become viceless. It's not difficult at all. And Baba said, you don't have to labor at all. No need. Why do we have to labor to finish waste thoughts? Why do we have to labor to finish anger or attachment or jealousy or hatred? If I'm laboring, if I'm working hard on it, this is like battling. We don't have to battle. We know the root. Go to the root. when you want to water a plant, you don't water every leaf. You just water the roots. That is why in the Ramayana, you know, the Ramayana, it is shown that when the battle between Ram and Ravan was taking place, Ram was trying to cut off the heads of Ravan. He had 10 heads, so he showed his fierce full form. And as he cut one of his heads, that head flew off, and that head would start speaking. Ha 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 ha, would laugh and then would come back. So Ram was surprised, what is this? I'm cutting off his heads and still they are going and coming back. And Ravan was not dying. Because when you cut off somebody's head, he's gone, not dead, finished. But Ravan was not dying, even in spite of his heads being cut off. And so Ram did not know what to do, how to kill Ravan. And that time Vibhishan, who was the Laukik brother of Ravan, you know, he came on Ram's side. He came in the army of Ram, left the army of Ravan and came on Ram's side. But he knew the secret. And he told Ram, Ravan is not going to die like that if you cut his heads. He will still remain alive. So what is the yukti? How can I kill Ravan then? And Vibhishan told him that his life is in his navel. Hit the navel. Shoot the navel, in the navel. You know, the navel. And there is where his life is. And if you shoot there, then only he will die. Not cutting off his head won't help. And after that, when Ram really shot him in his navel, then Ravan died. That's the story in the Ramayana. So Baba says that if you want to finish all the 5 vices, you should not say, I want to finish lust, I want to finish anger, I want to finish ego, or I want to finish greed or attachment. No, just finish body consciousness, which is the root of all the vices. And the 5 vices will go. So if any vice is still pulling my intellect, just become soul conscious. Just withdraw yourself. Baba gives the example of a tortoise. How a tortoise withdraws, just goes within. It has that tact of going beyond, just taking its limbs within. And therefore, I, like a tortoise, become a soul. I'm seated here. And then Baba says, no labor, but love. So, and I'm seated here, having love for my Supreme Father, immediately all other pulls or bondages or battling is finished. Waste thoughts are finished. Or Baba says, waste thoughts come because we hold them. So Baba gives another example of becoming like a bird. What does a bird do? If it finds that somebody is trying to catch a bird, it just flies. That animal or whatever who is trying to catch you will not be able to fly, but a bird has wings, it can fly. So the soul is also called like a bird. Atam panchi, we say. Soul is compared to a bird. When this person dies, we say the soul flew away. So it's like a bird. It flew away. Nobody can hold it. Nobody can catch it. Nobody can trap it because it's free. And therefore, a soul is like a bird. You know, they say for a bird, it should never be put in a cage. It's meant to be free. The home of the birds is the sky, not a cage. But we put the birds in the cage for our entertainment. But that bird which is in the cage is looking at the gate of the cage, the door of the cage. And if by mistake also, if we leave the cage open, the bird will fly in a second. It doesn't care whether your cage is made of gold and the swing inside the cage is studded with diamonds and lots of grains in the cage for it to eat. It doesn't care, but it wants freedom. So every soul in its original nature wants freedom, but it is like trapped in the body. This body is like a cage, and the soul is trapped in it. But then Baba says that when we are practicing soul consciousness, we don't feel that we are trapped, because we can fly in a second. We can go beyond in a second and experience that incorporeal stage, experience the angelic stage, experience the heavenly stage. So go to golden age, go to subtle regions, go to soul world, the mind and intellect become like the wings and we can fly. So even if I'm in the body, it doesn't really trap me in the body. But those who are body conscious, they are definitely trapped. That body consciousness that is making them become slaves of the senses. And that's why Baba says, you are not slaves of your senses, you are the master. And once I have that feeling, I'm the master, then I can do whatever I like. I'm not trapped by the senses. It's not that I don't eat, I don't see, I'm doing everything, but I know I can go beyond in a second. If I cannot go beyond in a second, it means I'm still trapped. Because if somebody is trapped or is caught, even if he wants to go out, he can't because he's caught. So if I cannot become soul conscious in a second, it means I'm trapped. If I cannot finish my waste thoughts in a second, it means I'm trapped. And that is why Baba says, apply a full stop. Three dots. And the yukti for finishing off all the bondages or going beyond in a second is applying the three dots. I'm a soul. Baba is a soul. Point of light. And Brahma is also point. So all the three points I apply in a second and I can go beyond. And when I go beyond, as Baba says, that like a flight, the plane goes above, everything down becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Although it's not small, but we feel it's small because we have gone higher. And therefore everything will become trivial. You know, it will become as if it doesn't exist. And how we can do that? By having this practice of going beyond. So be like a tortoise or be like a bird. Baba says even they have that intelligence to fly. Although it is an instinct, it's not intelligence, it's an instinct in the tortoise or in a bird. But we have that intellect. And as the intellect is there, we are intelligent beings, human beings. Still we can't, and they have only instincts and they can do it. So they are more intelligent than us, Baba sometimes says. And therefore, Baba teaches us how to go beyond. And once I know I can go beyond, then what are these vices? Lust. You know, all these five vices, they are actually attraction of the five senses. That's all. What is sex lust? It is the attraction of the skin. That's it, only. It's a skin. You know, but the skin, the pull of the skin. That's lust, sex lust, or whatever you may call it. And the smallest form of that lust or attraction towards the skin is the smallest, is when you go to a museum. You go to a museum, and very interesting things are there for everyone to see. And it's written everywhere, please don't touch, please don't touch, please don't touch. Everywhere it's written, please don't touch. But how many people do touch? In spite of reading, you know, before the things were not put in big, you know, glass cupboards. But now, of course, they are put in glass cupboards so that nobody can touch. Before, it used to be open. Even in some museums, I've seen in many parts of the world, they are still open. And it's written there, please don't touch. But still people touch. What does that mean? The pull of touch full of that. We want to feel how it is. So why we want to feel? You can just watch it. No, that's all. Why do you want to feel it? You don't have to. You can't take it. So why do you want to feel it also? Just enjoy. Let your eyes see from a distance. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to touch it. So this is the smallest example of lust. You want to touch it. You want to. And therefore Baba said, even you know, when you are living in your family, husband and wife, the wife, she doesn't want her husband even to touch her, you know. Or sometimes it's when they are body conscious, that touching also is part of body consciousness. Okay, it says love is okay, but especially when it is between male and female, it is definitely the physical attraction. And therefore Baba says, this is sense of touch, and the climax of this sense of touch is lust. What about anger? Anger, which sense organ feels that anger? It first comes to the eyes. When somebody is in an angry state, first of all the eyes will show that he is in anger. Ears and nose or mouth or hands may not show. You know, that later on. But first the eyes will show that he is in a state of anger. And then the eyes, and after that mouth and other things. And then the hands. So eyes, that's a sense organ which is a sign of anger. And therefore we say face is the index of the mind. But before the whole face is the eyes, which are the real index of the mind. What is going on in the mind is visible through the eyes. And then greed, of course, the tongue. Are we eating for living, or are we living only for eating? We eat to live, or we live to eat? It's a question, no? We have to eat, of course, the body needs food. But are we living only for eating? No. But some people do that, only for eating, and the taste. And the strange part of all that is, what is good for the taste may not be good for the stomach. What the tongue likes, the stomach doesn't like. It's not good for it. And what is good for the stomach, the tongue doesn't like. Isn't it? So the tongue wants tasty food, but the stomach says, no, your stomach will be upset. But still, the taste buds, they water, you know. The tongue waters. First the eyes see, and then the tongue waters, we say. So that's greed. So, but we are not living only for eating. We are eating so that we may live. But of course, how much food we need? We don't need much food. We need water much more than food. And much more than water, we need oxygen. That is the most we need. And that is becoming scarce and scarce. You know, see, everything is a paradox. So greed, the tongue, and attachment, the nose. When you love someone, you want to smell that thing. You want to smell it. The nose is attracted. So nose. And ears, ego. If somebody is saying some abusive words about me or something not good about me, immediately my ears stand up. What? What did he say about me? How dare he say that? What does he think of himself? The ego comes. So all the five senses, skin, eyes, nose, tongue, and ears. So, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. And then, of course, Baba says the children of these five vices, jealousy, hatred, all that. And how Baba transforms us? Just see everyone as a soul, that's all. No physical pulls whatsoever. And therefore Baba has taught us open-eyed meditation. To see everyone as a soul. Up to now people teach only close-eyed meditation. But actually that is cowardice, no? If I don't want to see something, I close my eyes. But even if I'm seeing and still not being attracted, not being pulled, not having any waste thoughts, on the contrary, having very good thoughts, then definitely that is the soul conscious stage. So just closing eyes is not going to finish my weakness. And therefore Baba says closing your eyes whilst meditating is actually not helping in two ways. Because one thing is my vision will not be purified, and second thing is I may go to sleep. Because closing eyes means wanting to go to sleep. The brain will have that thought that this one wants to sleep. You close your eyes only when you want to sleep. Otherwise you don't want to close your eyes. And therefore Baba says open-eyed meditation. See everyone as a soul, and we are brave enough to see everyone as a soul and not be pulled towards anyone. And the other beauty of seeing everyone as a soul is seeing everyone in the forehead only. Don't look below. Because if you look below the forehead, then all the differences will appear. But forehead is alike for everyone, no? Everyone's forehead is alike. It's flat. So each one's forehead is alike, and therefore when you see the forehead, you don't see the differentiations, the different type of thoughts won't come in your mind. But if you see below, below the forehead, the eyes, oh, this one's eyes are very beautiful. this one's eyes are not that good. So you are comparing. The nose, someone's fat nose, somebody's thin nose, somebody's pointed nose, what not. Lips, someone's very pencil-like lips, or fat lips. And then you go further down from sato to rajo to tamo. Have you? It goes down and down and down. And this is the sato pradhan stage. The forehead, sato pradhan, when you are seeing everyone as a soul. So don't look beyond. You know, in the Ramayana, there is a story that when Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, so he took her in his Pushpak Viman. So she was like going in the Pushpak Viman, and Ravan had actually kidnapped her. But now, how could she? Although she was screaming and shouting, but who could hear her? So what she did, she removed all her ornaments. You know, she had the necklace on and, you know, many ornaments. She started throwing all that down. And because he was taking her across in the sky, so she threw everything down. And then, he took her to Lanka. That's the story. Now when Ram went looking for her, because where did she go? She was supposed to be in that hut, and now she's no more. So where is she gone? So they went tracking, you know, looking for her, and then they found many of her ornaments which she had worn, which she had put on, and she threw them down on the ground. So Ram picked up one necklace, and he asked Lakshman, do you think this is Sita's necklace? He asked her. Asked Lakshman, his brother. Lakshman said something very beautiful. He said, I never looked at her neck. I always looked only at her feet, you know, as a sign of respect. Only at her feet. I never looked at her neck. So how can I know whether this is her necklace or not? You know, such a beautiful statement. How pure his vision was for Sita. Never looked at her neck. So these are stories in the scriptures which say that how we have to purify our vision, purify our thoughts, purify our feelings, you know, all this is there. And therefore Baba says that you see everyone as a soul in the center of the forehead, the sparkling star, the money, the bead, Prakash Mani, Baba used to call Dadi, Prakash Mani, the bead in the forehead, the star in the forehead. And that's what we have to see each other as. And when we are in that state of soul consciousness, then it is so easy to become egoless. You know, so bodiless, voiceless and egoless. Somebody asked me, why Baba used the word egoless? Because in voiceless, even ego comes. No, ego is part of the five vices. So why egoless separately? Has anybody any answer? Why egoless separately when it is part of the five vices? Yes, Dorothy? Huh? Yeah, Dorothy, no? No, sorry. Why Baba said egoless separately? No? It must be having a reason, no? When we say viceless, even ego is included in vice, no? In the five vices. But why egoless separately? Yes? It's the last one, so it's separate. Huh? Because last one, okay, but really we can say that in spite of saying that, yes, I have conquered all the vices, but this ego remains till the end. In spite of claiming that I have conquered the vices, the ego doesn't go very easily. It remains till the end. And therefore the first practice is bodiless. And as we are practicing and practicing, but that ego hasn't finished yet. And therefore that we should not say, yes, I have conquered all the vices, because the last trial or the last trace is still there in the form of ego, which hasn't gone yet. The small I is still there, although the big I, the soul, I am pure, I am peaceful, I am loving, I am this and this, all the quality of the soul, or the Baba gives the different swaman, the titles. So I may think of all those, but still the little trace of the small I, which is part of body consciousness, doesn't go till the end. You know, in Hindi we have three words. One is bhan, the other is abhiman, the third is ahankar. So ahankar, that ego may go. I am rich, I am handsome, I am beautiful. You know, all that ego which comes, or I am any talents, ego of talents or ego of any specialities. Well, that goes. I say, no, it's Baba. Baba has given that. I am nothing. Okay, that ego may go, definitely. So ahankar may go. The arrogance may go. But then abhiman is the body consciousness. But even, okay, that may also go. I'm a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a pure soul. But then there's small I in the form of a little bit of thought, the bhan. Yes, this is the body. I am this I. The small I remains till the body is there. You know, once the soul leaves the body, okay, that bhan will go. But till the end, that small thing, the small I remains. And Baba says, we have to finish that also. That is why egoless. No trace at all of any I. And therefore Baba says, if you want to say I, always say, I am the soul, I am a soul. If you want to say my, then say my Baba, my Baba, my Baba. Nothing else my. And when I have the practice of saying I the soul and my Baba, then this, even ultimately this small I also will go. And that will be our real angelic stage. So this is what we have to attain. And become like Brahma Baba, as Brahma Baba became at the end. He relinquished everything. He didn't even have to say anything to anyone. No pulls, no attractions, no other thoughts. No thought also of how this organization will run. He had started it. He had laid the foundation, and it became such a big organization, so many children, but no, in a second, how the soul left the body. So this is the practice we also have to make. Baba said in today's Murli, you have come here to die. Nobody else will ever say that we have come here to die, or you come here to die. But Baba teaches us how to die alive. In today's Murli, there was also an incident, the story of Narad. The story, you must have heard this story of Narad, that Vishnu told Narad that go to earth, because he lived in heaven, and heaven they show somewhere above. So go to earth and ask the people of the earth, say that there is one seat vacant in heaven. Is anybody interested in coming to heaven? One seat is vacant. So Narad went everywhere, asking everybody, would you like to come to heaven? There's one seat vacant, one seat vacant. And nobody was willing to go to heaven. Nobody was willing to go to heaven. Just imagine. An old lady who was 120 years old, when she was asked, would you like to come to heaven? You're already leaving very old, you're going to leave your body. She said, no, I want to see my great-great-great-great-grandson's marriage. I want to see his marriage before I go. But Narad told her, but you were just saying, God, I'm too old, please take me. You don't want to go now? No, I just told God, just to please God. I really don't want to go. So nobody really wants to go. So because when we talk about heaven, it means you have to die. And nobody wants to die. And therefore nobody was willing to go to heaven. That's the story in the scriptures. And Narad, because when Vishnu told Narad, go to earth and tell them, give them this invitation, that one seat is vacant in heaven. Who wants to come is most welcome. And Narad thought that everybody would want to go to heaven. But when he really came to earth, nobody was willing to go to heaven. There were those insects in the filth. He asked those insects, do you want to come to heaven? Those insects said, will we get filth in heaven? We are happy. Only when we get filth in heaven, we will come there. Otherwise, we don't want to come to heaven. So, you know, Dadiji, she made some brothers of Madhuban play this play, you know, towards the act this play. And then at the end of the play, it was shown that when he went back empty-handed, nobody was willing to go to heaven. Then Vishnu told him, well, you have forgotten one place where you have not gone yet. And that place is in Mount Abu. Where everyone is willing to go to heaven. We are all willing to go to heaven. You know, they say you cannot go to heaven without dying. You cannot meet God without dying. You have to die first in order to meet God, in order to go to heaven. But people don't know what this dying means. Dying is not dying physically, but dying a living death. So all of you are already dead? Or are you still alive? Yes? We're already dead, aren't we? Yes, dead from the old world and living in God's world. So we are ready, and God is definitely taking us to heaven, because God is establishing heaven for us. And today Baba also mentioned about bhoot, ghosts, you know. The vices, they are like the ghosts. They are the evil spirits. So evil spirits, ghosts, and there's one name of Shiva. You know, they say the 1,000 names of Shiva. And one of the names of Shiva is Bhutnath. Like say Vishwanath, Somnath, Pashupatinath. There's also one name called Bhutnath. One name of Shiva, Bhutnath. So bhut means devil, evil spirits or ghost. So God is the one who drives away all the evil spirits, all the ghosts. That is the one who purifies us, the one who finishes off all our sins, the one who takes us beyond the five elements. Because even the five elements are called bhut. Bhut has three meanings. One, like holy word, has three meanings. No, similarly, this word bhut has three meanings. One meaning is past. If you are remembering your past, then you are remembering a ghost. Because past is past. It won't come back. And if you are remembering it, means you are inviting the past to come in the present. It's like inviting a ghost. Like if somebody dies And if he appears after death, then it's not a living person, it's a ghost, no? So something of the past, if you are remembering, it's like you're remembering a ghost. So bhut means past. And second, bhut means the five elements. They are called panch mahabhut. The five elements, they are called bhut also. So if you are being body conscious, if you are remembering bodily beings, you are like worshipping bodily beings, then you are like remembering the bhut, the ghost. And thirdly, the vices are also the ghost. So Baba says three types of ghost, three types of bhut, and Baba is teaching us to go beyond. Don't remember your past, don't remember any bodily beings, and don't indulge in any vice. And so when I am able to overcome these bhut or the vices, the evil spirits, the body consciousness, the past, then we are really viceless, bodiless, viceless and egoless. Like Brahma Baba. Om Shanti. Okay? Thank you. Om Shanti. So let us practice this for the next 20 minutes. How to be completely bodiless, viceless and egoless. I should be able to go beyond in a second. I should be able to withdraw in a second. I should be able to give a full stop in a second. I don't become thoughtless, but I am able to become an embodiment of my powerful thoughts. I am a powerful soul. I am a pure soul. I am a peaceful soul. I am a free soul. I can travel anywhere I want. I fly to my home, the soul world. I visualize myself in front of my beloved Baba. The ocean of peace and love am being quenched in God's love. Mine is one beloved Baba and none other. In a second, all my waste thoughts are finished. I apply a full stop. Past is past. I can see my future. In the world of golden age, the world of peace and happiness. Baba has come to take me there. I can see myself also in the subtle regions. In my angelic form, with angelic Bab Dada. In a body of light. I'm double light. In form and light in weight. Just a dot. I can experience true freedom. I am now aware of my true nature. I am now aware of who I am. I am now aware of whom I belong to. I feel so secure. God's hand of blessings is on my head. I'm a blessed soul. How fortunate I am. My future is so bright. I'm complete, fully satisfied. Free from all desires. Baba, you give me everything. I have nothing to ask. Just be lost in Baba's love. Double light, beyond anything of the physical world. Thank you. I am a flawless diamond. A sparkling diamond. Emanating light all around me. With Shiv Baba's grace, I'm able to spread these rays all over to all the souls of the world.